Good evening. Our first reading is from the book of Psalms, and it'll be chapter 51. You can find it on page 562 in your pew Bible. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Our reading from the Gospel is from the book of John, chapter 16, and this will be verses 1 through 16. In respect to the Holy Gospel, please rise. Jesus sentenced to be crucified. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Here ends our reading.
Go ahead, please be seated. Janet, come on up and join Rochelle. Thank you both. And let's pray. Father, may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. Well, tonight we have the woman at the well. If you want to look at this, it's in John chapter 4, page 1052 in the Pew Bibles. And interesting story in a number of ways. For one, this is the longest recorded conversation of any of them that Jesus had with any person, was the conversation he had with this woman. Longer than the one from last Sunday's gospel lesson with Nicodemus, just which I think tells us the importance of this conversation. And as we'll talk here too a little bit, I think it indicates a few more things to us as well as what was going on. And also it's ironic in a way that we don't know the name of this woman either, just as last week we did. And as I was thinking about that, you know, I think the lady last week who anointed Jesus, I think we should call her Hope. And give her that name. And I think this lady, if I was going to give her a name, I would call her Praise. Now, I know I've not ever encountered a woman who had that name, or person really, but I think it really fits her and descriptive of her faith. But as you know this story, and I'm struck too by the gospel, Rochelle, that you just read, that at noon, the sixth hour, Jesus was facing all of this stuff coming down in the middle of the day, and that's exactly the hour that this woman finds herself going out to a well to get water. And she engages in a conversation with Jesus. And let's talk about that conversation. What strikes you about this event, this conversation, this time with this woman who comes out to the well, middle of the day, to get water, and here's Jesus? What strikes you, Janet?
Well, first of all, I would have gone with the name Joy for this woman.
Oh,
yeah.
We have a daughter named Joy.
So there. So, yeah. So because she left with so much joy in her heart. So,
cool. Yeah.
What strikes me is I asked Pastor if I could go a little bit past the reading that was actually on here. And because after that, she goes back to this village, and she's an outcast among outcasts. She's a Samaritan, and she's got this history about her. So she's this outcast among outcasts, and yet she goes back to the village after she realizes Jesus is the Messiah. He's the promised one. And she goes back and she tells the villager she's not afraid to talk to them. She hasn't seen a friendly face among them for quite some time, but she's just filled with this and with Jesus. And she goes back and she tells them, and it says he then stays for two more days, and there's hundreds of believers because of this woman. So I admire her. You know, it wasn't even courage at that point, because she was just so filled with Jesus.
Yeah, and as we were talking about this before the service too, that it, by comparison, so Jesus is at this well, and the disciples all go into town, 12 guys who have been following Jesus and seen all his miracles up to this point, they go into town and they come back. They haven't said a word to anybody about Jesus. Nobody from the town follows them back. Everybody from the town, one woman goes into town and the whole town. So what a witness and an encouragement to us. A witness. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Rochelle, how about you?
Well, I think I would name her Grace.
Oh.
Okay. So I think, you know, for me, it's the front end of the story. You know, it's a divine appointment. Jesus knows, he is fully aware of what he is doing. He has changed his route to purposely and intentionally meet her there. And he does. And he meets her where she's at, you know, physically, but emotionally, spiritually. He knows her heart. He sees her for who she is. And she tells him, you know, but this is who I am. And I think for me, we, you know, every one of us has a story. Yeah. And at some point, you know, we've all felt unworthy. We've all felt like I shouldn't even be sitting in a chair in this church. And yet Jesus says, that's not true. That is not true. I love you, and I know you, and I know your story. And for me, that just really struck my heart.
Yeah, and you know, as you were reading Psalm 51, I couldn't help but think of this woman and the very things you were saying about where she, I know my transgression and my sin is always before me against you, and you only have I sinned and done what is evil. So you are proved right when you speak. You know, Jesus speaks and says, you're right. You don't have a husband. But yeah, but the grace there, it just bowls you over, doesn't it, in a way? Oh my, yeah.
And like you said, it's a divine appointment, and he was waiting for her there. She wasn't there, and he comes across her. He was waiting for her, knew she was coming. So
Yeah. And you know, in the midst of all this talk about divine appointments, there was another divine appointment that Jesus was walking toward, which was the cross. So that this conversation could take place and be the conversation that it was. He had an appointment with death. He had an appointment with judgment. And he faithfully met those appointments for us and for all of us who have, as you said, a story that is not necessarily one that we'd want to tell. Now, you know, and her story, I mean, we talked a little bit about this too. What do you think it was about Jesus that enabled this conversation to go the way it did? I mean, these are two strangers. Jesus knows her name, even though he doesn't use it. She doesn't know his. He says, well, if you knew who was talking to you. And yet within minutes, all her stuff is out. I mean, who of you within 10 minutes of a conversation, initial conversation with a stranger, would be laying bare your soul as this woman did, you know? But what was it about Jesus that made that happen? What do you think?
Yeah. I think, you know, I just think that Jesus is Jesus, right? And he has a presence about him. And I think, you know, his eyes and his, you know, just his countenance, he was trustworthy, and she felt safe, and she could tell him her story. She could put it all out there.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's the eyes as well, and that she hadn't had friendly conversation for so long, and here's somebody looking at her not with judgment but with love. And you can see that, and you know, especially in Jesus, you can see that. So she felt loved, and she had that trust, and she just felt comfortable with them.
Yeah, and you know, maybe to direct this back out, I want you folks each to think of someone in your life who's really good at accepting you for who you are and where you are. Okay, you got that person in your mind, other than the Lord, okay? I would pray he was at the top of your list, but just humanly speaking, think of that person. What do they do that makes that message come across to you that they unconditionally accept you for who you are, where you are at? And I think as you begin to answer some of that, maybe we begin to be able to put ourselves into this story too, as to how Jesus was coming across to this lady so that the very things happened that did happen for her.
And then when he said, you're right when you have no husband, you know, and he knew about her. And so she's like, holy cow, this guy's something. So, you know, so that gave probably a sense of trust as well, because You know, and maybe she had, it doesn't matter if I tell him or not, he's going to know.
He's going to know. That's what, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, already know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go into that a little bit further, though, because that history, and we talked about this, you know, the healing this woman went through. I think, Rochelle, you mentioned something about being whole, not needing. You want to tell a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, I thought she, the one thing is she leaves her jug of water and she doesn't even need the water anymore. And I think that that void, you know, whatever that was, we don't know, you know, at that time if she, as a woman, she probably wasn't valued. Did she even have a choice in those relationships? You know, what did that look like?
Yeah.
And just that emptiness and that pain, you know, that yeah. went with all of that. And it was gone, and she's restored, and she is excited, and she is a new person, and a new person in Christ.
And we said that there must have been something on her face that showed that, because then when she went back to town, people listened to her. You know, they could have just said, "There's that woman," but there had to have been a physical change on her face that just said, you know, when she told them, they believed her, and they said, "Yes, we'll go meet this Jesus."
Oh wait, maybe her name really is Joy. Might be Joy.
I'm kind of like Grace too.
Well, Joy Grace. Joy Grace Praise. She's got two middle names.
Yes.
I had a grandmother that had two middle names. My mom had two middle names.
It's the thing.
Erna Sarah were her middle names. So, well, let's give this lady two middle names. Yeah, for sure. You had something else that you had talked about, though, in terms of maybe sharing with the...
About the worship?
Yeah.
Okay. So it also says, Jesus says about worshiping, and he said, for true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So I was like, I don't know that was specifically for that woman, as much as for me and for us, and what kind of worshipers Jesus wants. God wants worshipers true in spirit. So that just struck me, because it's, you know, here's the kind of worshiper I'm looking for. So.
And that takes me back to Psalm 51 again, in terms of true worship and the kind of worship that God wants to have from us. Listen to this. You do not delight, well, I'm going to back up. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That's, I think, defines the true worship that Jesus spoke to this woman, and she got it, didn't she? And you know why, I think? Because... I don't mean to say this in a disrespectful way. Jesus slipped her a drink. Right. Woman at the well, if you knew the water I want to give you, and he was talking there about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's what changed her heart. And So again, I don't mean it disrespectfully, but I think you understand what
happened. Yeah, for sure.
So have you ever had a moment that really changed the direction of your life?
Just one?
Yeah. What happened?
I have a God moment that I don't know that it changed the direction of my life, but we used to have praise times here and at Sunday nights, and I had a friend who was going through some kind of depression, and she was just having a hard time, and I was praying, and I was like, "God, I don't feel you," and he said, "That's how she feels all the time." Mm. So it was that was years ago, and it still just strikes me.
Okay.
You know, it was God letting me feel some of that pain.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Michelle, anything that...
Yeah, I do. And I think there have been several times in my life where there has been just some really difficult situations and really painful. And you come to the place where there is nothing but God. There is nothing but God. And that's where he wants you. You know, that is where he wants you, where that is where you find your strength, and that is where you find your peace and your hope is in that pain. There is that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and holding on to that. And then when you look back and you see how he carried you through it and provided just what you needed, you know, in that really difficult time.
Yeah. And how dramatically what you just shared is portrayed in this story. How many people are out there at the well? Just her and Jesus, and she is there with her whole load, isn't she? And God meets her there and provides healing for her. And that was a moment that changed her life. That was a day that changed her life. My question to you all is, have you ever had such a day? And I'm going to quickly answer it. You have. You have had that life-changing moment when you were baptized. Or when through the Word you were brought to faith in Jesus. You had that moment where it was just God and you meeting, and that changed your life. And there's one more day that changes our life. This one we share in as a group. It's the day that Jesus Christ died. That day changes our lives, doesn't it? That day changes our eternities. I mean, we've talked about how Jesus comes into this woman's life and replaces her brokenness with his healing, with his unconditional love and acceptance and grace, and she leaves whole. And that's what we receive in through Jesus on the cross. All of that. Yeah. Any thoughts that you have before I ask these ladies if they have a final thought or two about this story of this woman? Or questions for them? They have studied this story thoroughly. They read books on it, right?
Yes.
You see? Anyone? Because it's kind of meant to be a group conversation, if you so desire. Okay. Janet? What would you like to, just a takeaway from this?
Just that he was waiting for her there. That just strikes me. And I also heard, as I was getting ready for this, I saw something on Facebook, and it wasn't the water that he came for, it was me. And that just struck me, too. So,
okay.
Yeah. And he comes for each of us all the time.
Yeah. Yes. Ever so personal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Beautiful takeaway from that story. Rochelle.
I think it's the cross, you know, just as you said, and the Easter season and the reality of what God gave. He gave his one and only son and crucified him. And he went into it willingly for me. That is so humbling and so, it's just so hard to believe and comprehend, and yet he did. And that truth is there, you know.
Yeah.
He died for me and to provide me the so much more to live in a world, you know, that we live in, and to have a peace that passes all understanding when you're going through those really awful times. There's only one way but God.
Yeah.
And he gave that to her.
Yeah. And then she gave it away,
she
didn't
did.
She?
She did. Yes, she did.
Which I think is a word of encouragement to you and me, to give it away. She went in and she shared. And I think for me, two takeaways. I think she went out there, and this is a little bit plain with the fact that her name's not, we don't know her name. We don't know who she was. Do I know who I am? And there's lots of ways I can identify myself, but the way that the Lord Jesus wants me to identify myself is I am a forgiven and redeemed child of God. That's who I am. Forget all the other stories. That's who I am. And the other is a prayer request. He filled her cup. I'd like to have my cup filled by him too, with his peace and love and, yeah.
It just brings to mind the saying, my cup overflows, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does. He fills our cup to overflowing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good note for us to end on. Let's pray. So again, Father, we thank you for this story and the amazing love of Jesus and this amazing woman and the divine appointment and the day that changed her life. And we just thank you for that day in her life because it impacts us. And may it continue to impact us daily to know, Jesus, how gracious and unconditional you are in your love for us. And we pray and we ask that in your name. Amen.